Sweet booty. All right. Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Check Service Industry Podcast. I am Rashawn Parker. And if you haven't, go watch my television series, Beyond the Check, now streaming on Amazon Prime and Tubi TV. Tubi TV, it's free TV. I have a fantastic guest today. And if you have the opportunity and you are listening to us live on Tastemade, you can subscribe to Beyond the Check on Tastemade under the Makers Forum. And you can listen live when we record, because we don't record. We record weeks before episodes air, so you feel free to do that and ask my guest some questions. Who is my guest today? My guest is a fantastic human being. She is a wonderful baker. She's a massage therapist, so she makes people feel good on the inside and the outside. Ladies and gentlemen, my oldest sister, Atira Parker. What's up, homie? Thanks for being here for the very first Tastemade live broadcast as we figure this thing out.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm glad we got it under control.
Hello? It's under control. We got it all under control. You can hear me, yes, right? Yes.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes.
All right. We're in.
Fantastic. My head has got this green screen thing going on. If you're watching live, you won't see it in the actual video cast, but my ears disappear. It's fun.
Yeah. They look good.
Yeah. So anyway, what's up? How you doing? How's Ohio?
Cold and bipolar weather. I had a good day of massaging, which is my current career, of course. But I'm excited to talk about the past, my cake excursions.
Cake excursions.
Or so what there was a
All right, let's get through the cake things, and then we're gonna talk about how the hell we got places back in the day, because it was very confusing.
Probably take.
But first, my favorite cake you ever made was an onion, or no, a garlic. It was a garlic clove.
Yes, the garlic clove cake. That got me in the paper and the Athens News. That was probably the highlight of my career. it was a groom's cake, and it was before, like, I mean, hyper surreal cakes are, like, super popular now. Kudos to everyone doing that, because I never made it that far. They're doing, like, unbelievable stuff. My garlic clove cake, it was pretty cool. Yeah, it was a groom's cake, so it was one of my
crowning achievements.
Sure.
Sure. Clothing achievements.
Clothing. A cake that looks like a garlic. Didn't taste like garlic.
That might have been the worst joke I've ever made on here.
you should go.
So you used to make cakes all the time. What was, you know, like, and I know that you don't particularly, you do it for fun now, right? But you used to do it as a career. Why did stop?
I'd say I always did it for fun. Why did I stop? I got like a foot injury when I was working as a pastry chef in Columbus. And that was in 2012. And I've been in the restaurant industry since I was 18. And it's just really hard on your body. So at that point, I switched into doing massage therapy full time, which is also hard on my body. Eventually, I'll use my social work degree and beat myself up mentally. But I mean, that's what got me out of it. But maybe what got me into it?
Yeah, what got you into it?
I've just always really, really loved baking. I've loved to eat sweets. I love cake. I like that it's pretty. When I was a kid, I would watch Great Chefs of the World, which is really boring and on PBS, but I always particularly liked the dessert portion. And I would study it. I would take, you know, mental notes. And so when I turned 18, I got my first like real job at a bed and breakfast kind of ski lodge. And I was the breakfast cook and baker. So I was actually like getting paid to make baked goods, and I was able to experiment with flavors, and I just dove into it. I just really loved it. Rose Levy Barenbaum's The Cake Bible was my Bible, and I just...
Man, say that seven times fast, could you?
Rose Levy Barenbaum, blah, blah, blah.
Maybe just one more time?
Yeah. Rose Levy Barenbaum, I believe it's like a
Rose
book
Levy Barenbaum, Rose Levy Barenbaum, Rose Levy Barenbaum. You're welcome, Rose Levy Barenbaum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back, I think the book's from the 90s or something, but... Yeah, I studied that, and like anything, like when you're super passionate about it, you can learn a lot. So I never technically went to like pastry chef school, but yeah, that last job I had as a pastry chef, not to brag, but you know, this place hired a lot of people right out of culinary school, and I didn't have that, but I had life experience. So actually, fun story, when I got hired, I did not want to be a pastry chef. I just wanted to decorate these Cheryl's cookies that they had a contract with. And he saw what I could do. So he'd recently fired their male pastry chef. And they did some really cool stuff at this place. I won't mention it. But I did overhear my boss say, why do I keep hiring all these men when I can pay women to do the same? You know, so I essentially slid in, was the only one that was allowed to like write on the cakes and make certain pastries and do like more of the structurally like perfect, you know, I'm really good at that. That's probably my strong point.
Well, you were a bit of an artist as a child.
Yeah. Like I have my artistic bent, but I also know my limits, you know, like I said, the stuff people are doing today where they make essentially sculptures and like, you know, I'm like, man, I don't know if I could have got to that point, but you know, I did get to the point.
You don't think you can make a shoe cake?
Yeah, I mean, I can do that. Like, I can pull it off and everything, but I have to really try. Like, I don't have that natural, like, I can't draw really well. You know, like, I'm medium, but I have a lot of heart. So, like, and that came into play when I, like, I'd say, like, the highlight of my career was when I was working at the Village Bakery here in Athens. I was making cakes there, but they didn't want to take on wedding cakes, so I turned my downstairs into, like, a bakery. And I took on, yeah, wedding cake. So I would meet with people, do tastings. And that's when I made the garlic cake. And I was doing, you know, like the classic three-tiered cakes, fondant covered, side sheet cakes, all that stuff. And it was cool. It's very, very stressful because the entire wedding is, I mean, not the entire wedding, but it's someone's wedding cake. So like, you can't just recreate a wedding cake and like if something happens to it en route to the wedding or if you don't nail it, you know, it's, and I did have a couple experiences early on where I was faking it till I made it.
I mean, that's what you gotta do sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Tiffany Wickham, if you're out there, I'm so sorry.
What did you do to her poor wedding cake? You made Tiffany Wickham's wedding cake?
You don't know her, and she has a different last name. I've tried to, like, reach out because I did give her some money back. That was the very, very first one I did. And she wanted, like, a chocolate fondant, like, and, like, the vision was in my head, but it was the first time working with, like, chocolate fondant. It ended up cracking. The cake looked like a giant turd. I mean, it was, like, so bad, and I'm just like, maybe they won't notice. she did reach out and was like, that is not what I envisioned. I'm like, not what I did either. So sorry. So I gave her some money back. I should have given her all her money back, but I was a meathead too. You know, I was like, I still made it. You know, if it was me today, I would have totally refunded her money, but beyond that, you know, I mean,
she's still friends on Facebook, right? So I mean, you always reach out and be like, "Hey,
no, I've tried to find her. She has a different last name, but so that was a low point, and then the high points were, you know, I did some good work. I've got pictures on my Facebook page just from, you know, I didn't do it for very long, maybe like 2 years or something like that.
Yeah, so, but you went
and
hard
it was just my
years.
Own little business. Mm-hmm.
So what's the worst part about having a cake business in your basement?
I mean, it's like the cleaning. You have to pre-clean, and it's really just a lot of like washing dishes, cleaning up, cleaning. Like it's like anything, like, ooh, you see the finished product, but like really the, you know, baking is a lot of
cleaning,
you know, kind of like grunt work and everything like that. So, but then you get this final finished product and then you get cut into and it goes away and you never see it again. So let it go.
Cake, the ultimate art teacher who makes you destroy your painting. Mm-hmm, exhibition, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we ate that one. We're going to need you to try again.
Mm-hmm. I made your wedding cake. Actually, I think yours was the first fondant I messed with, and I was so pleased because it just gives it such a lovely, you know, it just makes it look professional. And yeah, no, your
my cake was
the
real
first.
Pretty.
Yeah, it was my first.
It was
attempt,
red velvet,
so
when you cut into it, it looked like blood.
It was kind of creepy like that, but
yeah, it was
nice,
cool.
Nice cake. Yeah,
it was delicious.
Good. Yeah.
That marriage didn't last, but that we kept that topper for at least a year.
Well, I made my own wedding cake, and it didn't last either. I have not fallen.
Is Tiffany Wickham still married?
I don't know. Maybe I'm cursed. The curse maker.
Is anybody still married that you made a wedding cake for?
I think so.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
I hope so.
You're not, you know. I don't know. That's not why you stopped.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd have to look in my files and find them and stalk them and see what's happening in their lives.
I'm just checking. I'm thinking about going back into the wedding cake business. And I just want to make sure that I'm not cursed beforehand. So are you guys still married?
Maybe you're getting married again. Round two. I don't know.
Give it a second. Go. Get back to me in 5 years. Let me know if it's working out.
Yeah. Yeah. So now I just do I'm the go-to baker for family events and everything like that. But
you can cook too, though.
Oh, yeah. Like I used to be like, I'm not.
You're the only person I trust in the family to make me dinner.
So. Oh, yeah. Like I studied savory cooking and I actually, when I worked at Elk River Touring Center, I was a sous chef under a great chef, Alan Dutchess. And that was really my learning ground. Like working there just gave me a lot of life experience and all that. So working as his sous chef and eventually when he would want the night off, I had an opportunity to actually be the head chef. So I would man the grill and have ribeyes piled up to here. I'm working the sauce station and I had a sous chef.
Oh, you had a sous chef.
Because I stepped up and I would fill in for him. They allowed me to do that. So that was I was the chef for the night. So.
Fancy.
And I do have a little story about that that was kind of funny. Because I also served at that place. So I'd chef one night and then I'd be the server the next night. And I remember I had a table and, I don't know if I was fishing for compliments, but I'm like, oh, you guys ate in here last night? How was everything? And then I was like, the pork chop was a little dry. And I'm like, I'll let them know in the back. Maybe I won't take credit for that. I sound like a real shithead. But I was so young and ambitious. My head was woo, I'm got to be the chef. So
fancy.
I think I did pretty well, you know, outside of that. But
outside of that one pork chop, you did just fine, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I like to be self-deprecating, I suppose.
You went to Hawaii for a little while. Did you cook in Hawaii?
Yeah, I did. I worked at a really bustling little place called the Coffee Shack. It was a breakfast lunch joint, super high pay, fast-paced line cooking. Oh, man, it was insane. You had to be able to hack it. You just had to be able to multitask. And that is one of my skills. I remember... if we do we did a $3,500 breakfast and I was the line cook for that. And I think I got a bonus. I got a raise, actually. He was good job. Cause we were doing eggs Benedict. So you might have a pan full of eggs at different temp boil. I mean, it was just insane. You had to just focus. And here's the thing about line cooking. You don't want to look at all the tickets lined up. You got to keep it narrow. Boom. Get that done. Get the next one done. Otherwise, we had this one girl working and she was like maybe 19 and she would just break down and cry sometimes because it's very stressful, you know, like.
One at a time, man. Work your way through it. Work your way through it. Work your way through it.
Mm-hmm. Your hollandaise sauce broke.
I mean, I do not envy the short order cooks with just the amount of just like yelling back and being like, heard, like, did you really hear that like six steaks, one medium, four, like two burgers, fucking french fries, like all, and you heard, yeah, great. Like, did you really, like, it's impressive.
Yeah.
The amount of fast-paced memorization is just insane.
I would describe it as a flow state. Like if you're really on and you're like doing it, you don't have time to think. You're just doing, you know, because you're multitasking in a way that it's a flow state. And I think I'm pretty good at that. Like I have ADD, for sure, but I'm able to really focus on certain things when I need to. Like that's part of it. You can kind of block out and just really get into like a flow state. So that's kind of what I do in massage too. So I can't have a 9-to-5 office job. I know that, but that's why I've always done kind of gigs and things where I bounce around and do different stuff throughout the day.
So you've had your massage license this entire time you were doing all those other things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was always kind of my backup, but I became licensed when I was only 19 and I just felt not ready for it, you know, like.
You kind of have to have a center and like, you know, but kind of a healing energy about you really to like.
And I think a maturity, yeah, and I definitely have that now, I like to think. So I really enjoy only doing massage because it's so much cleaner, you know, like there's not sugar everywhere or
flour everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, just making glue on every table.
Yeah. Like I do like working. I wish I could do it just for fun sometimes, but. But no, yeah, and I worked at Purple Chopsticks that you did a show on. You know, of course, Asia and Gabe's restaurant. They were just kiddos, I was like the chef there, and that was a lot of the same. Like one chef, it's all on you. You know, it's all on your shoulders. So same with the wedding cakes. Like you just have a lot of stress on your shoulders. People are really depending on you, so you have no choice but to come through.
All right? You cooked there too, though, right? Were you cooked?
No. When Ed, the owner back in the day, he got sick and he was totally out of it. So I was basically running the place. No, I was like the chef, head chef there. I came up with a couple of the dishes that are still on the menu, like the
pesto pasta.
No, the sweet potato peanut pasta. No,
the sweet potato peanut pasta. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember that from episode one, though.
Yeah, but it's definitely like a skill you have to keep up on. When they had their baby, Addison, 5-6 years ago almost, I filled in for Gabe. And I was I like to say I was a rusty trombone. Rusty!
You know, there's only like 12 dishes on the menu too.
Yeah, but everything is made to order. Oh, you saw my PJs. Everything's made to order and made individually in its own pan. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. Nothing's like pre-made, you know, so it's like.
Right.
And it's all like, I've thrown some pans. All right. I've had a breakdown and I do recall one night just like, motherfucker. Ah! I can't. You know, but I think anyone who's worked in the restaurant industry, I've done a lot of serving. Anyone who hasn't broken down isn't really. I don't know. Maybe they're more together, but it can be very stressful.
Oh, I think I only ever had one major meltdown when waiting tables, and that was at the Buxton Inn.
Okay.
And this, you know, the old Victorian restaurant in Granville, and they had dining rooms all over the building, right? So there's like the garden room, the green room, the like Victorian room, the main dining room, the fucking yellow room, like. And I don't know what had happened, but I like nobody came to work that day. And it was just like me and two other servers running around this ginormous building. And the hostess decides, you know, to just give us tables all around the building instead of like putting us each and just closing some dining rooms, right? Because there was parties too. So parties had special rooms like up in the yellow room and like, but you still had your regular tables down over there and you're just like running. And I just no. At one point I was like, I haven't been up to that other room in like a half an hour because I'm running to this one over there and I just can't get up there.
Yes, that's the stuff that nightmares are made of.
And I just chucked my book down the service alley like, no, I'm leaving. And they stopped me at the door like, please, 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 please. And I'm like, this is insane. They're all mad. Everybody's pissed, right?
And there's nothing you can do.
There's nothing that, and there's just nothing we can do.
The nightmare. I still have occasionally like a food service nightmare. And it's usually around serving because serving is like, you can't hide. You know, you're trying to get to the tables, but you can't. You know, it's like,
Everybody needs ketchup right now, and we're out of ketchup.
Everyone needs something. Again, the multitasking, you're not thinking, you're just doing your go, 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 go. And yeah, at the coffee shop, I served at the coffee shack in Hawaii too, and it was just like so busy. And I remember there was a two-top that came in, and me and the other server just kind of kept ignoring him, and we knew, you know, but it's like, she'll get him.
No, we're both playing chicken here. Well,
yeah. So, you know, tip your server. I think everyone needs to work in the food service industry at least once, because it's
not the military.
Fun. Yeah.
It's the, you know, it's, I don't know. It's one of the best money-making jobs you can have, but yes. Also the social impact of working in restaurants, you know, is also, you know, it's hard on you, right? So the younger you are, you end up hanging out in this place where everyone just goes out after work and just gets wasted, right, for years. And so you end up like meeting like those older servers that are like, you know, they don't drink anymore. Right. But they still play tables because the industry is just designed to, it's like, it's almost equal to rock and roll.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Like when I worked at, when I lived in Columbus, I worked at like kind of a dive bar that was kind of an institution. It was close to the courthouse. So we had all the public defenders and everyone there for happy hour. And I worked a lunch shift and then I would bartend, and the two owners used to party like rock stars. They're sober. You know, I'm like, this is like Cheers. We even had a bar stool with one of the, you know, Norm. His name was actually Norm. Was great. And so, yeah, I did some bartending too. Same thing, like just go, 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 go. How are you going to stay on top of everything? And that place was, it's probably still the same, like so behind the times, like no computers. We'd keep tabs by taking people's credit cards, putting like a little piece of paper and a paper clip, and then you handwrite, like, and then you end up with just like a row. Shit show. Total shit show.
You didn't even have like the alphabetical like little card holder thing, you know?
We had like a ledge and you just set them there and keep track using slashes and how many drinks of each thing, and then you ring it up, you know. It was like, and all the bartender, like, honestly, that's where I learned to drink. That's for sure. You know, like all the bartenders drank, all the owners knew we did, and you just had to replace. So
like, you're dealing with so much money and you need to be multitasking. And then like 90% of the bartenders across the country are fucking drunk. And you're like, God damn it. Like who, like, why is it the one job that people seem to be like, okay with your like person being wasted, right? Like even people try to buy you shots. So, like, let me buy you a shot. And like, nah, dude, I'm good.
Yeah,
thanks,
they
for thinking
do
about me though.
They do. And I'll say about
working here.
Yeah. I would try to do, cause I only bartended every other week, maybe every Saturday, something like that. But I really didn't like it because I kind of saw it as like, I gave you your drink, I'm doing my job, but there's the element of be my bartender and talk to me, and I'd just be like, okay, let's, you know, I, yeah, it's kind of sad, but true.
You know? Well, it depends on which kind of bar you work in, too, right?
So, and it also depends on where you, like, I think if I did
if
it
you're
now,
working
it
in Cheers, you're going to have to talk to the people. Mm-hmm. If, you know, you're working at, like, a venue or, like, a, you know, a bar with that's bumping and you mm-hmm. can't hear to talk, you're just like, hey, here's your drink, fuck off.
Yeah, this was not that. This was, be my friend.
My friend.
You're supposed to entertain me and also serve me.
Don't you want Jerry to take you out to dinner, give you a drive in his Mustang? Come on now.
Yep.
Come on, take a ride with Jerry. Don't you want to take a ride with Jerry? Come on now.
Yeah.
Nah, Jerry, I'm good. I think so. Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, so nostalgic things before computers, before POS systems, before sticky tabs,
big
apparently.
How did we get anywhere?
Like sure when you were going to go to a restaurant in a town that you didn't know, right? And you how the fuck did you get there?
I know,
right?
We lived through this. Like, I know it should be in my brain. Like, it just, you had to. You didn't have Google Maps, but like, we're so
you didn't even have MapQuest yet, right? Like, before
no,
the
you
internet.
Had a freaking Atlas in the car, like a map. What?
But like, do you remember if the Yellow Pages had like a map with like?
No,
I mean, I guess they had the addresses, right? Like
yeah,
in the Yellow Pages.
The address, but like you'd have to know.
But like,
your
how did you get to that street? Like,
I have no idea.
Did you call the operator, right? Like how did we just had to ask somebody, right? You just
yeah, you had to like ask for directions. You had to like oh, and this was the other thing that I was like that's how people got to your house. Everyone had. You had to know how to tell people to get to your house. You had to know the directions to give people from wherever they are how to get to your house. And I think, well, there weren't websites for places. I don't know. What did you call and be like, can you tell me how to get there?
Yeah, you did. You literally did that. You would like, you would call your friend and you'd be like, hey, I'm coming to Colorado, right?
I need directions
to your house. From the airport, right? And so they'd have to like visualize like how to get to their house from the airport. Like, all right, so you're gonna take the left out onto, well, I don't remember the name of the road, but you're gonna see like there's gonna be a gas station, there's gonna be a BP on one side, and there wasn't even BP back then, it was Shell. There's gonna be a Shell station on your left. So it makes you go that way. You're gonna go about 4 miles.
It came up just the other day. We like bought a sofa and we're giving the place, he wanted directions for when it gets delivered to the house, and we're like, what do you mean directions? Don't they just Google Map it? And he's like, well, but I have to put in the directions. We're like, okay, so coming off of 50, and it's like, I don't know how to tell people to get what is, I don't know any of my roads. You know, it's like, why would I?
Like, I don't even know the name of the roads, right?
And we're like I'm an elder millennial. You're Generation X. We're right on the cusp. But like, we lived in that time, and I just can't fathom. We're so dependent on it. We're so dependent on technology, which is a beautiful gift. But I'd like to see a youngin.
Yeah, right. That'd be funny.
Let me give you directions, sweetie.
A Back to the Future movie where a kid just has to like try to get to Walmart.
Right.
but like in, well, there wasn't a Walmart, to the Woolworths.
Head
boys got to get to the Woolworths back in 1982. Go.
So you're heading south on what? Am I?
Am I? And you're going to take a ride on 62nd Street. You can go into about 3 blocks until you see the blue house. Yeah, there's going to be a blue house before that, but you want to turn right at the third blue house.
Yeah, I think this is then it.
You're going to take that all the way down. It's going to be a roundabout. You're going to take the second exit on the roundabout. Don't get confused by that, because that's going to fuck up the entire rest of this journey.
Yeah. I do think it's important, though, that like we keep those memories alive. Like seriously, like what was it like to have a landline? You had to have one phone. Someone called your house and asked for you. You had to call other people and ask for them.
Mm-hmm. And if they weren't home,
a busy
you know,
signal.
there wasn't an answering machine. There wasn't call waiting. You couldn't, you know, yeah. like the line was busy. The line was busy and you just had to wait and keep calling and see if it rang.
Right. You know? Maybe it's off the hook. Oh my God, what if their phone's yeah. off the hook? You'll never reach them. They don't know their phone's off the hook. Run over to their house and tell them their phone's off the hook.
Right? Or if you really didn't want to be bothered, you literally just took the phone off the hook. But then eventually you do hear that it's super, just that super annoying, like,
yeah, like even when I lived in my first house, like when I was 18, like, I'm like, yeah, we had a landline and, you know, caller ID was huge. You know, at least then you knew who was calling. Yeah. You picked up the phone blind when we were children, you know, like, oh God.
Who could be calling? You got excited. You're like, who could be on the other end?
right.
You just never knew.
You never knew.
No. Now you know if it's spam or not. Hopefully.
Yeah. Most likely it's my mom calling me.
Or waiting on mail. Do you remember waiting on mail? Just like with the anticipation that like, oh, I ordered this thing. And it could be here anywhere between 2 days from now or 2 weeks from now.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to check the mailbox every day just to see. And I'm going to be disappointed on all of those days. But on that day it arrives, it's like Christmas.
You couldn't track a package. I still wait on packages, but now I can track them.
Right? Right. Like, I don't think you even could, like, you couldn't even, like, call UPS and be like, hey, do you know where my package is, like, back in the day? They're like, that's somewhere. On the way, we assume. we didn't get the letter.
Seatbelts were optional. Smoking was encouraged. You could smoke in a restaurant. My smoking first job at Bob Evans, there was a smoking section. You know, I'm like, what? That's so weird.
Oh, I think every restaurant I worked at.
Yes, you will never hear smoking or non. You know, like all those like little.
Which never made any sense, right? Like, I can't smell it on the other side of the restaurant. Like, the smoke somehow is just not wafting from over there. It all just magically stays in the smoking section.
Yeah, good that's smoke. The best. Is like,
stay smoke. Stay.
You're going to sit here and smoke, not smoke. Like, okay. Yeah. At Bob Evans, we had the two holes. That's what they called it, the hole smoking section, which was right next to the non-smoking, whatever. Yeah, yeah. It was a different time. It was a different time.
All right. Airports. I remember, because I still smoked, like, when airports started taking out all their smoking sections. And there was, like, one airport in Dallas or something where, like, they had, like, this big glass room. And
it was, the smoking section. At least they had that. Now, like, I remember I visited Dad, and I was in the airport. Not that I'm a smoker. But I did smoke, and I had to, like, leave the airport, recheck it. Like, you had to completely leave the premises.
Right? Like, the world just made smoking just not worth it. So.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, probably for the better, but.
I mean, you could smoke in jail. Cigarettes were, like, you know, literally currency in jail, right?
I mean, people would smoke in the car with the windows up. No big deal.
Yeah, it never made sense to me. Crack your window. Gross.
No. Car seat?
No. Car seat? No. Bouncing in the front seat as we drive? Yes.
Like if I would, like a kid, like you can't put a kid just in a car now and drive down the street without being like, oh my God, they're not in a car seat. It's like, dude, we were like.
I don't even know that we owned car seats.
We were just like, inside the vehicle at some place in the van. You know, like.
I mean, I think. Asia had car seats.
No, Asia sat in the front seat from the time she was three. She had shotgun. Three. And I sat in the back in a car seat like a weirdo because I liked the way it felt. Like, remember, it was like, but I wouldn't, like, get in it. I'd sit on top of it with my legs over the bar of the car seat because it was, like, an old car seat. And I'd just, like, sit in it, like my little bucket. I was in the car seat. Asia had shotgun. We were just floating around in the van. What?
Yeah, I mean, I remember just riding in the backpack of the van, right? Like just
the backpack.
Not even in a seat, just like in the backpack. Yeah, that's what we called it too, right? The backpack. Yeah,
the backpack.
The backpack.
Get in the back. The backpack.
No, the backpack.
Yeah.
The place where nobody's supposed to be riding. Go there.
But we're here to tell about it.
We all survived. People survived the 20s. And, you know, like, pregnant women were drinking their way through their pregnancy.
Some didn't. Like, so, like, anything. Some people survive. Some don't. We're here.
Yeah, we're here.
And
we're
halfway. Here. I don't know. We're good.
Halfway done. Halfway done.
Halfway done. I'll be 40 in less than a month.
Yeah, I'm going to be 43 in less than a week.
Oh, that's right.
What happened?
Yeah. I did get carded the other day, so I'm very happy about that.
Well, that's nice. I only get carded at, like, bars by door guys. Like, I get upset.
And I got carded in the grocery store. Less than 40.
I'm slightly offended when they're just like, what's your birthday? And I'm like, you don't, damn it.
You don't want to check
my grade? You don't even want to look?
Is that enough for you?
No, this is fine. I definitely look over 26. Is that what you're telling me? Okay.
Yeah, this was 40. I was like, thank you guys. And they're like, well, you don't look like you're like 40. And I'm like, I got a month and I love you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I feel like I look better now than I did when I was younger. Like, I mean, I look back at pictures of myself and I'm like, I look like a kid. And now I feel like I look like I know stuff.
You look like a man. And that's the beauty of being a man, because you get like more distinguished and you look more attractive, because that's what we look for in men. Women have to dye their hair. Oh my God. The regimen. What?
What? Oh, you mean you would look like me?
Oh, weird. At least. Hmm. At least. It's not as becoming on me, though. The things we do.
Maybe you'll accept it somewhere around 55. You got plenty of time.
Oh, once it's like stark white like mom's, like, I'll let it fly, but no salt and pepper. Nah, I just can't. No.
Yeah. Salt and pepper really isn't a woman's thing, is it? Like, you never see, you know, unless you're Elvira, no one's like rocking the salt and pepper.
I mean, people do definitely more now. I'm even on a Facebook group called Gray and Proud, and like, you know, you can get support through the transition. That's the whole thing, is like, you go from this to like it grows out. You have a transitionary period. You can't just go from brown to white. It looks horrible.
The transition period.
It's true. Man. People are mean to you in public. I mean,
could be worse. Could be balding, right? Like,
I guess. Oh, that's a hot topic. Jada Pinkett Smith. Yeah. Don't even go there.
If I stick my head under the overhead for like food show stuff, like I'm just like, oh my God, no, that is so bald.
Yeah. Well, that's
But it's there in the front. That's important. I'm tall, so nobody can really see unless I like it.
No, you look good. You're right. You look better now than you ever have. So party on.
Party on.
I hit my sweet spot. Maybe 30. I think 30 is really something.
I mean, I don't think you still look like the same you did 10 years ago. So, like, I wouldn't worry too much about it.
I'll take it. My regimen.
I do not look the same as I did 10 years ago.
No, you don't.
Strict regimens. What are the strict regimens to keep you looking 30 in your 40s, Tara? What you got?
Sunscreen. Don't go in the sun. Don't bake in the sun. Sunscreen. Sunscreen. Lotions. Things. I've been doing it since I was in my 20s, though. Religiously. So, I have never not washed my face before going to bed, like, ever. Even if I was blackout drunk. Jeez, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, of course I washed my face. It's ingrained in my... I'm like, oh, cool. Oh,
I only wash my face in the shower, I think. But I have really soft skin.
And maybe that's the key, too. Just don't care and don't do anything. I don't know.
Well, like, I think people wash all the natural oils out sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it depends on your skin, you know? And I just happen to have the skin that, like... I use regular just dry soap when I do wash my face, or I just bar soap. And
Ajax. Sometimes an Ajax.
And then I just
bark.
I don't really do anything else, right? But my skin's not super oily, but it's soft, and I think I do have just enough oil in my skin that it keeps it, you know, naturally.
But no sunscreen.
Fresh. No sunscreen. No, I don't.
See, go and I reapply. That's the thing. You got to reapply.
I don't like the sun. So, I mean, I appreciate the sun. I just don't like to be in it.
You get sun even through your windows in the house. Don't get me started. If you don't need headlights, you need to be wearing sunscreen. If you don't need to have your headlights on, you should be wearing sunscreen.
For real?
If you want to maintain a perfect, whatever.
Keep the skin from going wrinkles.
Mm-hmm.
Science. Right. Sunscreen, mm-hmm. Huh? That's it.
I haven't done Botox yet, but God, I would if I could afford it.
No, it just makes people look so weird. Like, I get so upset with celebrities that are just like, you were so pretty and natural and pretty looking, and now,
you
look like
happened?
A weird fake doll thing that I just...
That's why I'd like to check in on, like, the Kardashians every couple years just to see, like, how weird they are. You know, it's like, what?
You just look more and more like Michael Jackson every day.
Mm, yeah, I think, weird. Yeah.
Too much.
Natural beauty.
Like, I haven't looked at Susan Sarandon lately, but I feel like she's
pretty natural beauty. Michelle Pfeiffer. I just saw a thing with her Adobe Coop.
But
I'm sure they have work done.
Just subtle work, so you can't
tell.
It's
not all natural. My favorite was Salma Hayek. Everyone was giving her praise because she took a picture of her, like, grays coming in that she's not dying, and it was just like, like one strand of gray, like, you're so brave. I'm like, I mean, cool, but is it that brave? I mean,
at the end of the day, it's just hair, right?
Yeah, you got, like, is that all you're going gray? I was going gray at 16. I found my first gray.
Really? Uh-huh. Jeez, I don't think I found mine until I was, like, in my 30s. Well, no, that's probably 28.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't noticeable till my 30s.
On my 30th birthday was the first time I ever found a hair growing out of my ear, though. That was exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It's like, oh no, I am 30. There's hair going out of my ears.
Stop. And you never feel different. You'll never. Here's the thing, because I've worked with, like, a lot of older people in the aging community and stuff like that. Like, we don't live long enough. Or maybe even if you live forever, you never feel old on the inside. Like, you still feel the same on the inside.
Yep.
And so it's, like, very shocking for Alzheimer's patients. They don't like to let them see themselves in the mirror because they don't recognize themselves. You know, like, you know, you see dead and you'd be like, what the fuck? Who the fuck?
Hold on. What happened the last 40 years? Is that me? That can't be me.
Yeah. So, even when you're 90, you're going to be like, I don't know, man. I feel the same on the inside. I'm just living inside this body. That's it.
Yeah.
Getting older.
With a little less energy.
Good thing about being middle-aged, you know, like, according to some of my clients, I'm just a kiddo. But then when you go uptown with the college kids, you're old as fuck.
You know? Right? Like, I feel that way.
You're old. And it's like, oh, I am. And you're a baby.
Like when I'm around, like, even like some of my friends that are just like 5 to 10 years younger than me, I feel like I'm their same age, and I'm like, I'm very childlike, and I'm fun, and like I'm goofy, and mm-hmm. like, you know, like, and I feel like I'm just a kid just trying to make people smile all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, yeah, you walk into a bar of like 20 somethings, and you're just like, oh my God. I do not want to be around any of this. What is that conversation? Oh, no. I don't know. No. So
and
now,
I will say this, like, that, and I don't know why we're being so vain about looks and things like that, but, like, there's just stuff I think about, like, maybe it's, like, when you're in college, you're so young that you just don't care what you look like. You know, you're like, eh. I think the sweet spot, and, like, with women I've noticed, too, like, I think that all my friends now are more beautiful than they were when we were in our 20s. You know, like, because you learn to take care of yourself,
nice.
And you learn to take pride in how to dress, and, like, you put more effort, maybe because you're getting, you know, or whatever, like, you grow into your skin, and, like, yeah, and even, like, I love, like, seeing an older lady, and I hope to be that, like, you know, just to take some pride in your, appearance, because it goes a long way. It really does affect how people perceive you and first impressions and all of that stuff. Even if you don't want it to be important, it just is human nature. So. I did mom's makeup the other day. That was fun.
Really?
Just a little color.
I don't think I've ever seen mom with makeup on.
I started painting her toenails for her like a couple years ago, and now I do her nails for her. She likes to have her little toenails painted. So.
Oh, that's cute.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nice. What are you making for dinner tonight?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Dealer's choice. Rich is at a movie. He might pick up something, or I'll just eat leftover sausage in the fridge. I don't know. I can eat whatever. Sometimes my favorite thing is just to boil a half a box of veggie pasta, and I'll eat that with. I like pasta. I like carbs.
Butter, noodles.
All that. Yeah, like butter, noodles, olive oil, salt, pepper, little garlic powder. And then I do a little sweet balsamic on it.
Ooh, fancy.
I eat it all day long.
A little reduction or straight vinegar?
I buy like a reduction. Basically, nice. Like you could put it on ice cream.
I've never thought to do that. I wonder, is it good? Vanilla? Do vanilla, chocolate?
Oh, yeah, that's like a
strawberry.
Thing.
Like, strawberry.
Oh, like do vanilla and reduction. Do like mass, like soak the strawberries in like some balsamic. That's like classic.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Or granola. I made a big thing of homemade granola the other day, and I just like will just eat that. I'm pretty basic. Like it's like, Akira, you could cook some, and I do sometimes like cook like a really fabulous, you know, I'm like, I can make anything really like at a restaurant because I've done it. but I'll just eat. I mean, and I think that's the thing with any chef, like you go home and you just eat whatever, you kind of just don't like calories in.
I mean, you do make the super buttery, crispy pancake video for me, so I appreciate that. If you ever watch Crispy Dagwood Pancakes by Tira Parker.
Corn cakes.
Beyond the Check's Instagram. Yeah, corn cakes. Corn cakes.
Yeah.
Looking delicious. Mm-hmm. So good. So good.
So
cool.
Good.
Cool. You want to give any shout-outs to anybody? You know, your Instagram? Or can we follow you in case you make a cake again someday?
No.
No? Well, don't follow Atira anywhere. She doesn't want to know you.
I mean, I've been really into making like reels. I like to make reels on Instagram, but that's just like a little hobby I do. Kind of like Wordle. Like for a minute, I was like, I do Wordle every day and I make a little reel sometimes.
Cute.
But no, like, I don't know. I'm good. I'm not taking any new clients for massage. I'm just like trucking along.
Awesome.
Living the dream.
Nothing
to promote,
with the dogs, with the beagles. With the beagles. We didn't even talk about the beagles, but
dog mom.
Dog mom. Oh, there they are.
There he is. There's Ralph.
There's Ralphie.
He's never not by my side. So.
Bones is literally laying on a desk.
Bones. My nephew. No,
the green screen's not going to let you see him, but
yeah.
He's just chilling.
Well, give them my love.
Will do. So thanks for hanging out in this very first live Taste Made podcast as we work through our kinks. I think we got it working. So yeah, guys, if you want to listen and ask questions on the next live podcast, go follow me at Beyond the Check on Taste Made. Go to Taste Made, go to the makers, find Beyond the Check. Follow me, maybe sign up for a package or something. You can hang out and ask my next guest fantastic questions. You could have asked this lady questions, except I don't think anyone signed in, but that's okay. We'll
get
them next time.
There aren't millions of viewers.
On this first live Taste Made, I think we had two.
Really?
But,
I thought there'd be none. I was expecting none. That's a win.
Well, let me double check that. But yeah, I think two people.
Yeah, but
so
you can replay this, right? Like people might.
The podcast will be released. I think this one will actually be out next week. But normally podcasts don't come out till weeks after I record them. Okay. So that's why it's nice if you sign up to my Taste Made that you can actually listen in live during the interviews and even ask questions from the chat that we would answer if anybody had asked us any questions.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm glad I could do the pilot so you could get it. Get the kinks worked out. And I'm sorry I haven't listened to your podcast more. It's just hard when it's your own brother. I'm like, I could just call you and talk to you. You know?
Right, but you can't. But you couldn't talk to my fantastic guests.
That's true.
Cookbook authors, right? That you will be able to ask questions to in the future if you personally also go follow me on TasteMade.
Good point.
Good point.
Your favorite. Yeah. Touche.
Touche. And for a while, these all the podcasts are going to be free, so you don't even have to worry about paying or signing up for my subscription. But you know, always love the support. And go watch Beyond the Check. If you want to start at season one, you can see Atira take me to Purple Chopsticks and learn all about that. Yeah, fun stuff. And follow Atira on Instagram at...
I think I'm like Atira P. I mean, anytime you look up my name, I'm sure I like come out because it's a weird name.
So. One of the few. One of the few of the proud. Alright, well, thank you for listening to this episode of Beyond the Check podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Please go watch the TV show. Go sign up on TasteMade. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, blah, 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 all those places. Popple.me, popple.me, / Beyond the Check, and you can get all the links to everywhere. Cool. Atira, thank you so much for being here, and cheers.
Love you!
Love you! Bye!
Bye!